You're listening to Majority Thursday on 670 KBOI. We talk to Republicans about the latest news in the Idaho legislature. Now here are Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, Senator Todd Leahy from District 12 is with us this morning. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Paul, Jay. Good morning, Chris.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
What are you working on?
Well, this year particularly, I'm working on Marcy's Law again. That's the constitutional amendment to strengthen victims' rights in Idaho and give them an effective voice in the criminal justice process. It gives them an opportunity to be notified timely of criminal justice proceedings that are occurring and then be able to express the impact that they've felt as a result of that criminal activity that really can cause deep and hurtful impacts on an individual.
What is it about the way victims are treated now that is wrong?
We have really a good foundation of victims' protections in our Constitution. They were put in place 23 years ago. Mm-hmm. But there, over 23 years, we've seen that there's room for improvement. We added additional proceedings, such as pardon and commutation and post-conviction, which are situations where a criminal can get out or have a sentence reduced, and the victim needs to be able to participate in that. Additionally, this gives them the right to have standing, to say we can assert our rights to be mm-hmm. heard. And then lastly, it gives them the opportunity to speak on their own or have somebody speak on their behalf. I've been in court as an attorney where it's a prosecutor where it's very difficult for that victim to be able to be next to the person that victimized them, but express really what happened to them and how it's impacted their family.
Do you find that when a victim appears in court, that a lot of times that makes, if there's a jury or a judge, depending on who's judging the case, that it really gives them an idea of the impact of what was done?
It can, yes. Yeah. Being in court is an intimidating situation for anybody. Yes. Most people aren't familiar with that process. You have a person in a black robe and attorneys that seem very formal, and they right. just don't know the rules or understand it. So being able to be there either with the help of the prosecutor or a family member or even their own attorney to help have their impact expressed is really important because, as I said, it's often very difficult for that person to do that.
Prison, the Idaho prison director, seeking a 7% budget boost. Is this necessary? Is this enough? How do you feel about this?
Well, Paul, we are certainly looking at that. Part of the criminal justice reform that we've been going through is trying to reduce the prison population and make sure that the right people are in prison and that people that don't need to be there are back out in the community. That said, there are different programs that need to be increased, and our population is growing, and with that growth in population comes, unfortunately, additional criminal activity. Mm-hmm. So I'm open to the increase, but I do need to learn a little bit more about the specifics mm-hmm. and haven't had that opportunity yet.
The targets, the beds, the services.
Exactly.
Still up in the air. Okay.
Exactly.
With the national tax cuts, Idaho, of course, had to make some changes because we generally fall in line with what's going on, and we do have to adjust based on that. And I guess we were going to be paying an extra $100 million or so as a people.
Correct.
With the national changes. And so we have now reduced that by almost $200 million. Are there going to be any hardships at all, or are we going to do fine after this?
I think we're going to do fine. The governor's built that into its budget. The House just passed that bill. Mm-hmm. As you stated, one of the impacts of the federal tax reform is the loss of the standardized deduction, which would cost Idahoans an additional potentially $100 million. So we wanted to make up that difference on the state side and make sure that that money stayed in the pockets of the Idaho citizens. And I think the additional cuts will be helpful. It still has to come over to the Senate, so I have to listen to both sides and what people have to say about it. But generally, I think it's a good idea to put more money in people's pockets and be able to contribute that to the economy and support their families.
A Senate panel has introduced a bill allowing women to receive up to 12 months of birth control. How do you feel about this? Is it overdue? Is it unnecessary? How do you feel?
Well, Paul, I guess I'm open-minded. I haven't seen the bill. I have heard about it generally. 12 months of birth control, I don't know if there's really a problem with that. I guess the question in my mind is this something that the government's paying for? And if so, do we need to be a little more cautious in that and not give such big chunks if we're the ones footing the bill?
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the concept goes, I don't have a problem with it if it's just something that they're looking at getting themselves.
Now, you mentioned that the House has passed the governor's tax cut bill. Are there any changes in the grocery tax yet?
Chris, that hasn't been proposed. That wasn't part of the package. I understand there was a fair bit of discussion about that over on the House side, but they are separate at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think the grocery tax repeal also has merit. The challenge to that is defining what a grocery is. It sounds kind of funny, but is it a staple? Is it what you buy in the restaurant, or is it something in between? And defining that and being able to apply that tax appropriately, yeah, or that tax relief, I should say, appropriately, is part of the challenge. So I think that's what I've heard that folks are working on that issue.
We are talking with Senator Todd Leahy from District 12. It's a Majority Thursday. It's 8:45.
You're listening to Majority Thursday on 670 KBOI.
It is Idaho Talks Live, Majority Thursday. In our next title studio, we have Senator Todd Leahy from District 12 in Nampa. We've been talking about various things going on in the Idaho legislature and some tax changes. How about corporate tax? What are we doing for corporate tax?
Chris, that's part of the legislation that was passed in the House. We've been very focused in the legislature the last couple of years in trying to make sure that Idaho provides an environment where companies can grow and relocate and thus create opportunities, economic opportunities for families, jobs, and jobs that pay family-supportive wages.
Right.
And the tax bill decreases that corporate tax rate as well. Right now, we're one of the higher rates compared to the surrounding states. Yes, we have some deductions and the things that are – you have to dive in deeper to figure that out. But this gets our rate to be more comparable with surrounding states and gives, I think, Idaho a closer look to those companies that are looking to relocate to Idaho.
Uh-huh.
And again, I think will help us competitively with other states and help us create, not help the state create, but help companies come here and create additional jobs and employment opportunities for Idahoans.
Apart from that, have we had any other disadvantages as a state?
You know, I think we have a lot of advantages going for us. We have cheap power. We have a business-friendly environment. But Idaho is also a conservative state. We're not one of those that just throws money at companies to bring them here like other states do. So we have to find ways that fit within our values to encourage companies to locate here and be competitive.
So it actually requires some work.
It does require some work. You know, Idaho's a great place to live and do business, and we want to make sure that people and companies see that.
Well, obviously something's working. We're one of the fastest growing states in the nation. Legislation in the House Business Committee would add an exception to Idaho's minimum wage law for workers under 18 who are employed by a family member or a family business. How do you feel about this? I knew kids when I was growing up who were like slave labor, you know, who worked with their dad in their business and worked with their mom at home and didn't ever get paid a dime or very little. How do you feel about this?
When you first mentioned that, Paul, that made me chuckle too, because I used to go to work with dad and I didn't get
paid.
Oh,
yeah.
So I just
my dad
that
was an upholsterer and I tore down a lot of furniture.
My dad was in the grocery business.
Yep.
And I would get up and go to work with him and help sort things in the back. And that was just all chalked up to building character and experience.
No question.
But I suppose if we need to be formal about it, maybe that applies more for older ones if they want to pay their child. Okay, if it's a family business, I said most of the time, as you noted, it's probably free.
Sure.
But if they're worried about some kind of tax scrutiny or something, if they pay them, I guess that's not a bad idea. I have to see the details, but it did make me chuckle a little bit when you first read it.
Are there any changes that need to be made or can be made this legislative session about urban renewal?
Well, I know that House members are looking at that. There's been some concern expressed by legislators over the new baseball stadium and how that was funded by or may be funded by the Urban Renewal Agency. I think urban renewal is a valuable tool, and it's a tool that you have to be careful isn't abused, but those urban renewal dollars, if they're spent on redevelopment and expansion and improvement of infrastructure and economic development in the right circumstances, it's a very good tool. Twin Falls is a good example of that. We have other good examples here in the Valley as well. We have some other examples that that weren't viewed so favorably based on the last legislative change that we did 2 years ago. So I guess I'm open to looking at it and seeing what folks have to say, but I think urban renewal is a valuable tool that we don't want to damage. We want to be careful how those monies are spent. It shouldn't be something to supersede something that requires public dollars to do and is better put to the people for a vote, such as public buildings and those kind of things. But we need to be careful.
And, of course, a lot of the state is rural anyway.
Correct. A lot of it's rural, so we really are talking about, you know, more – this is more of a city issue. But that said, Twin Falls, for example, you bring a company like Chobani or Cliff Bar, you're employing people in the county and all the surrounding areas if you can help do that.
We've been talking with Todd Leakey, Senator from District 12 in Napa. Todd, the time has flown by once again. Thanks for stopping by on Majority Thursday.
Thank you, Paul Jay. Love spending time with you guys. Always fun.
All right. Idaho Talks Live coming up after a news break at the top of the hour. See you then.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, KBOI News Time 9:06. And we don't talk sports much on here, but Boise State, all of a sudden, looking pretty good in the conference race in basketball. The Broncos alone in first place at 10-2. And the University of Nevada, which lost last night to Nevada Las Vegas, University of Nevada is 9-2, a half game behind Boise State.
Right.
And they have lost Caleb Martin, their best player, which would be basically like Boise State losing Chandler Hutchison. So he is out indefinitely.
Wow.
Has a torn ligament in his foot.
I mean, that's too bad, but right now it looks good for Boise State, you know, coming up on the tournament eventually.
So,
which is about, what, 5-6 games away.
Yeah, interesting to see. Wyoming, the only other team with less than, who is less than 3 games behind Boise State. The Cowboys have a win over Boise State. Yeah. They've also beaten Nevada, but they have to go on the road to Boise State, to UNLV. I think UNLV, even though Boise State beat him the other night, they're pretty close right now to the best team in the conference, I think, at this point in time, especially with the injury to Caleb Martin.
We talked about it a couple weeks ago. We talked about the difference between this year's team and last year's team. Mm-hmm. In that this year's team, they get into that tight, you know, just down to the wire game. And we think, you know, we just have this optimism that they will probably win this or they may win this. And last year it was a little less so. It was kind of like, uh-oh, the other team's caught up. This could be bad.
Yeah. Broncos still have a lot of road games left, but they're against teams like Utah State, Air Force, Colorado State, San Diego State, all of which have even records or losing records.
So, San Diego State, I guess, has been an underachiever.
Yeah, San Diego State, 5-6. They were picked, I think, second.
Wow.
Interesting.
This is why we're not professional gamblers.
Yep. Broncos, two games left against teams with winning records. Nevada next Wednesday and Wyoming March 5th.
Yeah.
Both of those games are in Boise, and the Broncos are 13-0 at home. But
St. John's, by the way, is another reason why I don't want to be a professional gambler.
Isn't that something?
They beat Duke, and then they beat Villanova.
I've always liked Chris Mullin, and I was so happy for him on Saturday. I didn't see any of the stuff last night. But, man, so what you're referring to is he beat Duke on Saturday.
Yeah.
Number 4.
Uh-huh.
They'd lost 11 in a row, St.
Well,
John's.
Yeah, they were something like 11-12. That was their, or whatever their record was.
Yeah, and they'd lost 11 in a row, and they beat the number 4 team in the country.
And then?
And then they play number 1 next, and they beat them.
Yeah.
They beat Villanova last night.
They were 0-10 in conference before beating Villanova last night.
Wow.
So amazing. So amazing.
That somebody made some money off that, but somebody else lost a lot.
You think anybody made any money off of that?
I don't know. I mean,
I wouldn't know who.
Somebody who, you know, is, it seems like a careless bet, but well done. You know, it'd be like picking a trifecta with three horses that are all over 50-1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it comes in, you go, I knew it.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Well, no. The fact that I passed out when it happened shouldn't really tell you anything.
Yeah. So, Boise State, Saturday night, they're on the road at Utah State.
Yeah. That'll be interesting.
And hear all of the BSU games here.
Road games are always far too interesting.
Yeah. Well, especially Utah State. Boise State is at a, they go down to the Spectrum and weird stuff happens.
Yeah.
I remember one time we went down there, a kid threw a milkshake.
Well, yeah.
At one of our players.
They did that for...
And he stepped on it and sprained his ankle.
Well, but they did that for just a couple of seasons, I think. As soon as the Utah State would score, people would throw stuff like toilet paper rolls and various things onto the playing surface.
And
they'd have to stop the game and come out with the brooms and... And they were acting like that should be some kind of a tradition.
It's like throwing fish at a hockey game.
Well, yeah, but I remember thinking, okay, but like one fish or one octopus, you know, whatever, like in Detroit. I mean, that's one thing. But covering the entire floor with garbage. And then, of course.
And that's all it was, garbage.
And as you said, I mean, I can still remember you even making that call saying, oh, somebody just threw a whole milkshake onto the floor.
Yeah, one of our players, I can't remember. It was a long time ago. I stepped on it, sprained his ankle.
Yeah. That was just, I mean.
Game, set, match.
That was weird.
Yeah.
See, I'm thinking
2 minutes into the game.
I'm thinking that was a time when there was very little to do in Logan.
There's still very little to do in Logan.
Well, probably more than that.
Yeah, it's amazing. KBOI News Time, 9:13.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 9:17. Good morning. It's Thursday already, huh? You've been to Whole Foods lately? Do you?
You know what? I've actually never been to Whole Foods.
We used to shop there all the time, but I don't think I've been to Whole Foods. I'm trying to think. Maybe last summer or last spring?
Yeah. And you don't live very far away from
it. No.
I mean,
it's the closest grocery store to me.
You live a matter of blocks away.
Yeah. Apparently, they're having trouble keeping stocked. Considering the cavernous size of its stores, upscale reputation and prices to match, Whole Foods Market isn't the kind of supermarket chain where customers would expect to find shortages. It's exactly what customers are discovering since the chain was purchased by Amazon.
Oh, wow.
Apparently, they've had problems keeping stocked.
So they've apparently changed some operations.
Customers started noticing empty shelves at Whole Foods a couple of weeks ago. No strawberries, no bananas or microgreens. Also, the meat and fish departments were pretty bare. I've gone back three times since, said a customer. Today's the first day I've seen grapes.
Hmm.
The first day I've seen chocolate croissants, said Murphy. They told me they're out of strawberries because of the Super Bowl.
Or as I call them, chocolate crescent rolls.
And I said, yeah, strawberries are pretty high demand food for the Super Bowl, which they're not.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, if you're celebrating after the game with champagne and strawberries, which, by the way, most people don't do.
Yeah. The problems are being traced to a change in Whole Foods supply chain more than a year ago.
Yeah.
A system called Order to Shelf Inventory Management. The system was in place before Amazon bought the stores for $13.7 billion. The system was intended to create more consistency.
Yeah,
also, it was supposed to help reduce or eliminate the times that goods were kept in a stockroom.
Yeah, it seems to have done just the opposite. Well, no, apparently they're not being kept in the stockroom, because if they're running out of stuff, then the stockroom isn't full of goods.
Yeah, so it's working.
Sort of.
It has led to shortages.
People like your picture, by the way.
Problems appear to be widespread. Not confined to the, I can't find my phone or I turn it down. And produce issues that Murphy encountered. In a research note last week, Barclays analyst Karen Short said one store was out of cookies, crackers, popcorn, canned beans, peaches, bottled water.
Now I'm mad.
Clerks had tried to make the shelves appear more stocked than they actually were.
What, by sitting on them?
Well, by, you know, making something that was two boxes wide, making it 12 boxes wide.
Oh, yeah.
Inventory problems coupled with the need to cut more prices now that Whole Foods is under Amazon's control will go right to the chain's bottom line.
Well, I mean, you know, I guess any time you're making changes, you have to experiment a little.
I don't know if they're having that problem here. I'll have to stop by.
Well, stop by and get a salad.
I haven't been there. Yeah.
You used to go there for lunch and get a salad.
Every day.
Yeah.
Huh.
Although your eating habits have, you know, changed.
Yeah, they have. Well, it's expensive.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you how good I am. Well, you know, first of all, I mean, I don't drive anymore because I've got problems seeing. I'm, you know, my vision's extremely blurry, and so I don't like just, you know, decide. I guess I'll go to some store. You know, if my wife's not going to the store, I'm not going to the store.
Yeah,
and so I've never actually been. We're not near a Whole Foods, but we actually live fairly close to Rosar's, and I never went there. I kept thinking I'm going to get over there to Rosar's and check that out because
that was a nice store.
People said it was nice, and so you told me it was nice, and it finally just left town.
Yeah, it closed.
So now I feel bad. I don't feel that bad because, you know, who knows when I would have gotten there anyway.
Mm-hmm. Boy, the story goes on and on and on. Bakery department looks sparse, like it was picked over. They have those big bulk food dispensers. They're empty.
Really?
The shelves supposed to be filled with toilet paper, bare, nothing at all on them. Eliminating the stockroom, apparently, which is what they've done, frees up thousands of square feet that could be added to the sales floor.
Well,
but they can't fill what they have.
But if you have nothing to sell, it doesn't help to have more sales floor.
Yeah. Wow. The shopper they interviewed for the thing said she's considering going back to splitting her grocery list between Trader Joe's and Target, perhaps buying produce through the community-supported agriculture movement.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to buy milk or cheese at CVS Drugs, 7-Eleven.
That's a lot of different trips.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Huh. So I don't know. I don't know if it's happening here or not.
You know what's funny?
Anybody who knows, give us a call.
Here's what's funny about grocery stores, and this isn't true of everybody I know, but a large percentage of people go to the grocery store that's closest to their house.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, and the closest, the really the closest thing to where we live is the Winco on Fairview.
Well, there's a Winco that's about the same distance as.
And so the two places that we actually, and you know the other place I'm going to say, that we usually end up shopping the most are are the Winco on Fairview and then the Grocery Outlet also on Fairview.
Yeah. Let's go to Gary of Emmett. Gary.
You know, Paul, Chris, good morning.
Hey.
It's kind of interesting. Those empty shelves are kind of like a preview of what things are like in Venezuela and used to be like in the Soviet Union.
Yeah, and that's what...
At their Whole Foods?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you go in, there just isn't anything, except they were missing things like toilet paper and all foodstuffs.
Did you ever see that Robin Williams movie called Moscow on the Hudson?
I didn't see it. I know about it.
Well, yeah, he was a Russian musician, and they toured America, and he defected. And then at one point, he wanted to go to the store and buy something, and he walks into the store, and he asks, "Where is the line for lettuce?" and they just point to the. The produce section, and of course, it's just completely, you know, teeming with food and everything, and he starts to cry. He can't believe it.
Yeah.
That's one of those things that's probably not only poignant, but a reflection of reality in a way.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, though.
Shall we sing patriotic songs now?
No, that you would mention that. See a bunch of women in overcoats and scarves, and they're waiting for a loaf of bread.
I know. It is kind of funny. Well, you know, I mean, not to put too fine a point on it, but the liberals always want to move towards socialism, and Maduro's government in Venezuela shows the end product of that with their empty stores and stuff. But, you know, we're not...
Do you equate Whole Foods with liberalism?
Bezos and Amazon? Oh, yeah. He is an interesting kind of liberal. He's good and liberal for everyone else, but he's a billionaire, very close to
the old
Carnegies and Rockefellers and
stuff. He's got over $100 billion now.
He's like one of the turn of the century robber barons of the last century, the Fords, the Carnegies, the Rockefellers, folks like that. You know? And so it is interesting. There's a dichotomy between what those folks seem to want for the rest of us and what they've designed and acquired for themselves.
Gary, thanks very much. Yeah. We appreciate that. We got to get to a break and go to the news right now. 12 o'clock
rock, we're going to rock. You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 9:37.
Biggest hit of 1955.
And I never understood, because I was of the age where Bill Haley was a fat old man. Mm. And is with a string bass. Boom, 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 boom.
I think if you were just listening to it on the radio and didn't know what he looked like, or if you didn't care about that.
Okay.
You know, I mean, Fats Domino with a big bopper. Those guys were all, you know, pretty large.
Yeah. Oh, I like Fats Domino.
Yeah.
Because he played music that was not... boom, 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 boom.
That's true.
All right. The Senate.
It was more... Doom, 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 doom.
No, I'm not going to go in. I almost went into my Fats Domino imitation, which is not good. A bipartisan deal, and it's a very big deal in Congress. The deal proposed by Senate leaders would lock in a two-year agreement on spending numbers, essentially taking shutdowns, threats, and continuing resolutions off the table for the time being. What does that mean? The time being, when does that begin and end? It would provide long-overdue disaster relief funding to hurricane-ravaged Texas, Florida, and more urgently, Puerto Rico.
Well, I mean, that sounds like a good idea.
Congress has been lurching from spending crisis to spending crisis for months. Should the House and Senate pass this, it in large part would clear the decks. Here's how it works.
Okay.
The Senate still plans to vote on a standalone defense funding bill. That'll be today. They'll get onto the bill, but the vote to proceed will fail. Then senators will take up the House-passed continuing resolution. The preliminary vote on that will be today, at which point they'll strip the House language and replace it with the Senate language. Then they'll vote on that and kick it back to the House. The House will vote on the measure to prevent a shutdown tonight. Does anybody care about shutdowns anymore? Well, I know the Army does.
I'm sure, you know, people who work for the government do. You know, providing that they're going to get, well, let's put it this way. If you told me that any place I worked was going to shut down for 2 weeks, the difference it would make is am I going to be paid for that or not?
But
and if the answer is no, then no, I don't want it to shut down.
The thing is, they will get paid.
Yeah.
But there'll be a gap in there. And a lot of people live paycheck to paycheck.
This is true.
Yeah. And if they miss one or two.
Or one.
Yeah, they're in desperate straits.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Will there be a shutdown? At this point in time, it doesn't look like it. There are still several steps to go, things that can still go wrong, and votes that may not appear. But aides in both parties and both chambers say we're okay.
We are at a point right now, I think, in Congress, where there is one side saying that the other side isn't agreeing with us right now. And because the other side isn't agreeing with us, nothing's going to happen and it's going to be their fault.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the other side is saying the exact same thing.
That's true.
Yeah, where they're saying...
Sad but true.
There's something we'd like to do. The other side isn't agreeing with us. And so if nothing happens, it's going to be their fault. And
I'm taking my ball and going home.
But if you and I are trying to decide something, just between the two of us, and we sit there and argue for 4 hours and we never come up with any solution whatsoever and therefore we don't do anything, is it your fault or is it mine?
Yes.
Or is it ours?
It's ours.
Okay.
Yeah, I would think.
Now, there is something to be said about, like, if I were purposely belligerent and all I wanted to do was obstruct...
Mm-hmm.
Like anything you say, I'm just going to say no.
It could be your fault then.
There we go.
Yeah.
On the other hand, they both sides say that about the other one.
Yeah. Let's go to Butch or Jerome. Butch.
Yeah. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Well, if anybody ever told me, I'd be listening to a basketball game on my smartphone at night because I can't put it down. I called them crazy. I love them Broncos. My God, I love them.
Playing
anyway,
well.
Yeah, back to the subject. You know, I am so sick and tired of our government. And I'm not the only one. I'm disgusted by them.
Their approval ratings in the toy.
Oh, and it should be.
Mm-hmm.
It should be. For Nancy Pelosi to stand there for 8 hours and talk and look at the time and time wasted, money wasted for her to talk.
We're gonna play that entire speech back tomorrow.
Oh, are you? Good. What time's that starting? So I won't be there. Anyway, but I am. There's no way. Like I talked to Nate yesterday. There's no way. It's impossible to pay off our debt. It cannot happen. It will never, ever happen. There's not enough money to pay $20 trillion off. But we keep sending money to other countries. And like I told Nate, they need to write all them foreign aid checks out of a closed account and then let the governments call us and say, hey, that account's closed. Yeah, you're right. And boy, are we sorry, but you ain't getting no more. We can't afford this. You know, if your people are hurting, God, we feel horrible about it, but we can't afford to fix it. You know, the money they're spending on DACA, I understand people want that to go through. I personally don't. We can't afford to bring people into the country to give them aid when we can't afford to pay our bills. And it's disgusting to me how our government will look at me and say, you got to pay your tax bill, by God, or we'll lock you up. But yet, they're just extending theirs out. and extending it out. If I'm ever lucky enough to have grandkids, two or three down the line, great grandkids will be paying for what we're doing today.
Oh yeah.
And I'm just stymied how our government, Republicans and Democrats, can sit there on their hands and just say, well, we just need to spend $2 trillion or $1 trillion. No, we don't. We can. If it takes cutting off foreign aid and some of this aid to people that really, like that one state in Virginia, if you're on food stamps, you're going to put in, like 40 hours a month of some kind of work. They just started that a few months ago. What is wrong with that? We can't afford this, guys. But anyway, go Broncos. Great show, you know. But make sure you announce what time Nancy's coming on so I can get some popcorn and beer and listen to that one.
Yeah, we'll do that. Thanks,
Butch. Guys.
You know, our president, Donald Trump, wants to throw a parade, which is going to cost $6 million. Is that right? Something like that?
$22 million, I think, was the latest figure. Yeah,
$22 million.
Well, that's still kind of up in the air. That's what he has proposed. You know how we see this on television all the time. Generally, when they want to show that a country, okay, and see, here's the problem. Generally, when they want to show on television, on the news, that a country is insecure,
mm-hmm.
North Korea or formerly like the Soviet Union, mm-hmm. or somebody like that, they will show them having a military parade where the leader of the country is standing there and everybody
watching
is saluting and watching tanks go by and rockets and things like that. And it's kind of something that the United States hasn't done much of, except for like at the end of World War II, the end of World War I and things
mm-hmm.
like that. Because I don't think we've ever wanted to appear that we were insecure and had to show, you know, like have a show of force, like a gorilla beating its chest.
Exactly.
And part of the problem with a parade like this is there are a lot of people who would view it as, they must be slipping because they think they have to do this now.
Mm-hmm. It's 9:46.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
All right, KBOI News Time, 9:49. What are you eating there, man?
This would be Papa Murphy's Pizza.
What are they advertising here?
Well, for every heart-shaped pizza that they sell, they are going to give a portion of the proceeds to the Idaho Food Bank. And they, of course, are selling the heart-shaped pizzas because it's almost Valentine's Day.
So there you go.
6 days away for those of you who haven't paid the least bit of attention.
Support the Idaho Food Bank. Buy a heart-shaped pizza from Papa Murphy's. Let's go to Bill of Boise. Bill.
Good morning, gentlemen. I hope you're going to enjoy this beautiful day this afternoon.
Boy, it's gorgeous.
Last night, Nate was asking, do we need a parade? I called in and said, no, we don't need a parade. We have Veterans Day, Armistice Day, 4th of July. Each state celebrates the people in the service
mm-hmm.
in their way. So we don't need a parade. If you're going to spend $22 million, why don't you take that money and put it into the Disabled Veterans Fund and help those guys? That's who needs the help. They don't need a parade for them.
Does seem like a terrific waste of money.
It is a waste of money, but isn't that the way the government goes?
Wait a minute, the government's wasting money? What?
Yeah, if you had the budget, like Governor Otter was on a little bit ago, saying that Idaho has balanced their budget. Why can't the government do that? Just to keep spending.
Here's the deal. They don't have to.
That's true.
And that's why they don't.
But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there.
And I heard somebody yesterday say that, you know, once in a while we have to have a show of force so we can show people what our military can do. Are there any countries in the world that don't know the size of the American military?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, they are. They've been living in the Stone Age.
Well,
true
I
stuff.
Guess, yeah.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye.
Good stuff.
Deep in the forest.
Let's go to Jim of Boise. Jim.
I am and always have been pro-marching band. So anytime there's a possibility of a parade, couldn't be better spent. Money mm-hmm. better spent. And the band could sell band candy or whatever. But You know, I'll tell you what. You know, a while back they were talking about the North Koreans coming down and getting in the Olympics, and they mentioned some girl band. Well, anyway, I clicked on the old internet, you know, and I'll tell you what. There's a girl, all girl military band. If you click on there, I mean, they are sharp. And so, you know, we can keep politics out of artistic endeavor. That's what the Olympic tries to do, but also with bands or whatever. So anytime there's a parade, you know, hear, hear.
Okay. All right. All right. There's a vote for the parade from Jim. Thanks, Jim.
Well, I kind of agree with him on the marching bands. I like to watch a marching band.
Have you seen those girls?
No.
My God, they're gorgeous.
No.
I mean, they are.
And they also play music well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
That's another plus.
I mean, these days you don't know if it's them playing or not, but.
Well, true.
They appear to be, yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. So.
Well, have you ever seen those? I mean, on YouTube, you can see there are actually a lot of videos that are out of North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a few of them, one in particular that I can think of, where they have very, very small children playing instruments. And they're very, very good, I'm thinking, because of the discipline that is involved in getting them to do things.
Well, in South Koreans, of course, they own women's golf. And the men are small, too small, I guess, to drive with the...
like the PGA guys.
The PGA guys. But the women, they just control it. And a South Korean just finished second in the... I guess fourth in the Australian Open.
Now, I in particular, though, I'm just talking about North Korea because it is still it's a communist country. It's a dictatorship, and essentially, if the dictator wants you to be good at something, you'd better be.
Yeah, and that's all you do. You don't do anything except get good at whatever you're supposed to be good at.
This is true.
Dow Jones Industrials down 322.
As we keep saying, the day is not over yet.
The day is not over yet, and I am looking at the... It just looks like a drawing of a canyon.
Yeah, even that day when it dropped 1,100, at one point it was down 1,500.
Yeah.
And as I said, I mean, the Dow is so much larger than it used to be. Like, you know, we were up around 25, 26,000.
We were talking about gambling on Monday?
Because I told you Debbie was saying that when she worked back in the 80s for... in the markets and whatnot. Dean Witter. It was Dean Witter. If they had dropped that much at that time, everybody would have panicked.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, because the percentages would have been so much larger.
Yeah, they were at about, 9 or 10,000 or something at that time.
Yeah, even less maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, amazing.
Got a few instant messages quickly here. I know we only have a couple seconds, but H.G. McCall says, I used to go to North Idaho 5 times a year on business, and Rosar's is the bee's knees in North Idaho.
Yeah,
but I would imagine it couldn't compete in the Boise area.
Well, they had a beautiful store, beautiful store here, and it lasted a year and a half. I used to shop Rosar's in Moscow because it was the best.
All right.
KBOI News Time, 9:55. That's it for Idaho Talks Live. We'll see you tomorrow.